Zechariah chapter 14, and I don't think that's right. It's Zechariah chapter 13. That's not my text. That's just one of the first places I will begin to read this morning. Zechariah 13. Now let me again say that I am speaking about the doctrine of election. And now, concerning the doctrine of election, we are on the subject of election's grand original. Now let me just reiterate this truth. Those who despise the truth of God the Father's eternal election despise the eternally elected one.
Yes. Yep, that's true.
The grand original of eternal election is the man, Jesus Christ. To despise election is to despise Christ, no matter what they say. The truth is, even as our Lord said, if you don't receive me, you don't receive the Father. There's no other option to that. These people say, well, I don't really believe in all that Jesus stuff, but I do believe in God. So do the devils. But they even believe in that Jesus stuff. Because they said, at least a certain group of them said, we know who you are.
That's right.
You're the Son of God.
That's right.
Isn't that what they said?
Amen.
They didn't just say the Son of Man. They said, you're the Son of God. And they knew he had both power and authority. He had both might and right over them.
Yes, sir.
Because they said, art thou come to what? Torment us before our time. Even they knew they had a time to be tormented, didn't they? But they also knew he had the right to do what? Torment him whenever he wanted to.
That's right.
He's the sovereign, you see.
Yes, sir.
He's the sovereign. No, those who despise the truth of God the Father's eternal election despise his chosen one, the grand original. And he is the original because we're chosen in him. And what Ralph said last week is right, and he mentioned it a couple times. We were not chosen to be in Christ. Now there is a sense in which we are in time placed in Christ.
Yes.
Through regeneration, yeah. we then actually experience what it is to be in Christ.
Yes, sir.
But God didn't choose us to be in Christ. God chose us in Christ.
Amen. That's right.
And there is a sense in which I was never condemned of God.
That's true.
Now again, I say, some people say, well, that makes you a such and such, and they'll have that title, right? But God also chose us eternally to salvation as well.
Yeah.
You know? So that also makes me, they say, well, that makes you such and such. Well, how can you be both? Couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you. Doesn't really matter to me. Somebody says, you've got to take one side or the other. I don't have to take anything.
Exactly.
What I'm trying to do is speak, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and notice what I said, the Lord Jesus Christ, not just the Christ, not the Lord, but the Lord Jesus Christ was chosen and predestinated as truly as we are. You understand what I'm saying? The second person of the Godhead needed no choosing nor predestinating. He said of himself when he was here, I am.
Amen.
Right?
That's right. Yeah.
Before Abraham was, he didn't say what we would have to say if speaking as though we existed merely before Abraham, but having a beginning, we would say before Abraham was, what would we say? I was.
Yeah.
Right? But what did he say? Of himself. Before Abraham was, what did he say?
I am.
I am. He used the name of God himself.
Yes, sir.
Strictly speaking, the Lord. Okay? Strictly speaking, the second person of the Godhead was neither chosen nor predestinated, but the Lord Jesus Christ was chosen and predestinated. Remember, and I told you I would repeat this often, because this is the whole purpose of God seen in the second person of the Godhead, that is the eternal God, in the person of the Son, purposed for himself, creature existence, creature acts, that he might delight in creature fellowship as the God-man.
Yes, sir.
If God hadn't wanted to do this, he'd have never done it.
Exactly.
The fall did not place upon God some, I must act now. God Almighty ordained the fall. That God Almighty might manifest his glory both in his judgment against sin and his grace toward a people.
Yes,
God Almighty ordained the fall. God Almighty wanted to damn some people and save some people.
Yes,
and I'm tired of playing games.
That's it.
You know? I used to say, well, I kind of wish everybody could be saved. What am I wishing for when I wish for stuff like that?
Exactly.
I am wishing for opposite of the will of God Almighty. Am I not?
Yeah.
So therefore, somebody ought to be damned.
Yes, sir.
The truth is, we all ought to be damned. Amen. Therefore, we ought not have trouble with anybody being damned.
Exactly.
We ought to be totally amazed and just wonder at the fact that anybody was ever saved.
Yeah.
We really manifest how much we really think of ourselves. Yeah. When we talk about how much we really, boy, I hope old so-and-so is saved. What do we say? Well, I hope old so-and-so gets it. Huh? Well, but we don't want to sound too self-righteous. But wait a minute, we're talking about what we deserve, right?
Exactly.
You see, the fact is, and I heard Tim James say this. He said, "You're bad enough to go to hell 10,000 times,
right,
whether you know it or not."
Exactly.
That's how bad we are.
Yes, sir.
No, again, I say the eternal God in the person of the Son purposed for himself creature existence, creature acts. I mean, creature deeds. When I say that, I'm not talking about those specific deeds that were common only to him as the Messiah. I'm talking about creature deeds that are common to us all. Now, I'm going to be as blunt as I can without being too blunt. The eternal God Almighty of glory had to get rid of human excrement.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Can you imagine that? The eternal Almighty Yahweh himself coming down and taking upon himself that, the stench of the human body in the heat of the day. Huh?
Yeah.
The eternal God. In the person of the Son, purposing for himself creature existence, creature acts, to delight in creature fellowship, he says. And not to get ahead, too far ahead, but Christ said, my delight, eternally, my delights were what? With the sons of men. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
Isn't that amazing? My delights were with us. God's delight, the Father's delight was in me, and my delight was in you.
Amen.
Therefore, evidently, the Father must delight in us as well.
Yes, sir.
In the Son. Does he not? The eternal God, I say, purposed in the Son, creature existence, creature acts, to delight in creature fellowship as the God-man, and that everlastingly. You see, once the second person of the Trinity, once the second person of the Godhead took upon himself an actual human body, he has retained and will retain that body forever.
Amen.
There will not be a time when he will say, all right, it's all done now. All of salvation's accomplished. Huh? Okay, now I can shed this off. Right? Now think about it. Christ was predestinated for much more than the salvation of his people.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty daggone self-centered when we think the whole reason why Christ came and was made flesh is to save us. God could have never let us fall to start with if he just wanted to be with us.
Exactly.
If he just wanted fellowship with us, him as he was and we as we are. Creator to creature. He could have just not let us fall. Right? No. Again, God wanted to experience what it was to have what? Creature existence, creature acts, and creature fellowship. Three things concerning this. Think about it. Christ was chosen for God to delight in, far above the rest of humanity or even the angelic creation. Zechariah, if you've turned there, chapter 13. Mainly verse 7. And it's mainly the first part. There's like one phrase. that is just is filled with so much of the divine, eternal, unilateral covenant between Father, Son, and actually Father and Son. It includes Spirit, but most of what we're revealed in the Scriptures between the Father and the Son.
Yeah.
Most of it. Look at it. Verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Now, who is speaking here?
Yeah.
Zechariah's writing. He wrote this, right? But who is speaking here? Who's speaking?
Yeah.
God is. Right?
Sure.
Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. This is not us speaking. Right? This is not Zechariah speaking for himself. This is Zechariah writing what God Almighty spoke.
Yes, sir.
Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against, look at it, the man that is. And that is okay. It's not actually, there's nothing that corresponds to that in the Hebrew, but the Hebrew indicates this. Look at it. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is what? My fellow.
Yes, sir.
You ever had a fellow? Sometimes we use it now. That fellow. I don't have the same meaning when it says my fellow.
Exactly.
We're talking here about somebody is.
Yeah.
They're together. You know, we're one.
Yes, sir.
We can share. We're talking about friends here, Joe. We're talking about a confidant here. Someone you delight in.
Yes, sir.
Someone you're joined with. Kind of like David and Jonathan.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Where Jonathan knew that even his daddy was wrong concerning David, so he took David's side.
Yes, sir.
Or did he take somebody else's side?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's taking God's side.
That's right.
Against his daddy. You see, right? He wasn't just taking David's side. He was taking God's side. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith who? Not just the Lord.
Yeah.
But the Lord of who?
Yeah.
The Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
Out of all the hosts, there's one fellow.
That's right.
There's one man, rather, that is what? My fellow.
Yes.
Now, folks, write that right there. Although it is brief, short, and in some sense, a simplistic words. Yet here we see God Almighty expressing the divine covenant between the Father and the Son.
Yes, sir.
The union, that unilateral, not just covenant, but relationship that God the Father had with the Son, but not just the Son as He was.
Yeah.
And I can only say that because of my limited ability, but as He was, but also in light of what He would be.
Yes, sir.
A man. You see that?
That's right.
Now, granted, this is to our benefit, but notice how it states it. Smite the shepherd, and what's the sheepies going to do?
Yeah.
They go run. This man didn't run. He set his face like a flint, Scripture says, right?
Yeah.
For this cause came I into the world. What did we do?
Yeah.
Now, I know we did. Well, I didn't do it, preacher. Yeah, we did. If I'd have been there, I'd have probably done worse than they did. I'd have probably done worse than I'd have probably cursed and swore I didn't know him while I was down in the local pub.
That's right.
At least Peter was outside the house where Jesus was.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Come on now.
Yes, sir. That's it.
No, here's the Lord of hosts. And what's the sheep do when the shepherd is smitten? They scatter. But you know,
yep.
He searches them out nevertheless.
Still
sheep. You see, the whole point is, God Almighty, if God had simply become flesh just to redeem us, and it's actually done and satisfied, why would He have to remain that way?
Exactly.
Unless He wanted to.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
It's the only reason He have to is because He wanted to. Because there's a far greater glory than my salvation.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That glory is God Almighty's glory itself. It is amazing how self-centered we become. That we think God Almighty did everything He did because of us? Huh? Don't we? Even if we get them 5 points and we get them down straight, we think all of eternal God was just for them 5 things. And I'm included in all 5 of them. Ain't we special?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, God Almighty was pleased to have find joy and honor in Himself.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And especially in Himself in relation to the second person of the Godhead, the God-man.
Yes, sir.
What about Isaiah 42? You know this one. I've already mentioned it. It's very familiar, at least to us here. Behold, Isaiah's moved to write, right? Look, see him. Yes. Take, this is not just a passing glance. It has the connotation of set your eyes on this and gaze at it and ponder over it and mull over it, as old Tim James says.
Yes, sir.
Feed on this thing. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul, oh, look at this. In whom my soul, what? Delighteth.
Amen.
Delighteth. Here we have God Almighty Himself, God the Father, expressing His delight in the Son. No, in the Son. Now, even further than that, Hebrews chapter 1. Let's turn there, or be turning there. Now let me ask the question. Now you don't have to answer it out loud. Well, sometimes preachers ask loaded questions. You understand that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
So don't answer out loud, because it could be a loaded question, but maybe it ain't. Which is of the higher order, man or angel? Strictly speaking, just biblically speaking, without some kind of trick, without it being that, what is the highest order? The angelic creation is higher than the human creation. But look at what it says, Hebrews 1, verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels.
Yes, sir.
Now, wait a minute. Being made? How can the eternal second person of the Godhead be made anything? He was when He was made flesh.
That's right.
You see.
Being
made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Here's the one man who's above the angels.
Yes, sir.
Because it's that. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I brought you forth. That's what, right? Have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Somebody says, that makes me sad. That makes it sound like Christ was created. Jesus was.
Exactly.
The man Jesus was. Yes, he's a man.
That's right.
Created by the Holy Spirit, yes, but he got his Jewishness from his mother.
Yeah, he did.
From Mary. He was of the seed of David according to the flesh. He wasn't just God that came down and dwelt in a special human body made for Him.
Exactly.
He was God Almighty who dwelt in a special human body made for Him through the womb of a virgin.
Yep, that's right.
Through the womb of God. You don't think God could have created Him a human body without a virgin? He did in the beginning.
Yes, sir.
There wasn't no virgin around when Adam was created, was there? God could have created him another body, right?
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't choose to do it that way because that wasn't his design.
Exactly.
His design was not only to find fellowship with the creature, but he came down and took on himself, apart from sin, he took on him the likeness of sinful flesh.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, apart from the sin itself, he took upon himself the same flesh that we have through, that was subject to all. To many, I should say, of the problems of the fall.
Yeah.
It was not till after the curse that Scripture said of us that when we labor, we will labor by the sweat of our face.
Exactly.
And I hear people quote that.
Oh, yeah.
And quote that, and they say, the sweat of your brow. That's not what it says.
Nope.
Folks, I could get in a hot room, and my brow will sweat, and I don't have to move a muscle.
Exactly.
Why? Because I'm out of shape. That's why. But when you get out there in the hot sun and you go to labor and your face turns red, or at least ours does, mine does, being of this color skin, and that all of a sudden sweat comes not only out of your brow, but comes out of what? Your face.
Yes, sir.
That's called laboring. It's not as called laboring. That's called laboring under the curse.
Yes, sir.
That's what that's called. Laboring under the curse. You know what happens when you sweat? I want you to think about this. It's a little gross. You know what happens when you sweat? Bacteria feasts on that sweat. The salts and stuff, whatever it is, in that sweat. And guess what that bacteria does? It does what almost every other living creature does when it eats. It has a byproduct from that fuel consumed. And that's why you and I stink. You know that?
Yeah.
I want you to think of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, took upon himself not the original Adamic body, but the body of Adam after the fall.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
After the fall. Oh, what a glory. Now, that's the first reason. That is, Christ was chosen for God to delight in, far above the rest of humanity or even the angelic creation. But secondly, Christ was chosen that God might behold the image of himself in all of his perfections in a creature. In creature form. Think about it. Look at the same passage, Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God Almighty, that is, I should say, God the Father, sees in the Son all of his perfections in creature form. Isn't that amazing? And thirdly, Christ was chosen that the fullness of the Godhead might actually dwell bodily. Right? Colossians chapter 1. We'll be turning there. Now think about it. God is. Now we're talking about what God, his form, his substance. What God is made up of. That's not the right word, I know. But I'm unable to find in my vocabulary the right terms. But our Lord said of God, God is, that we know God is love, God is wrath, God is jealous. But what is God also? As concerning a form or whatever. God is what? Spirit.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now we also have Christ's word as to what spirit is. Spirit does not have what? Body. Right?
That's it, right?
That's Christ's own word. When the disciples thought they'd seen a spirit, when they'd actually seen our Lord, he said a spirit don't have flesh and blood like I got.
Exactly.
Right? So if God is spirit, then God essentially considered has no body. Right? But God does have a body.
Yes, sir.
God eternally predestinated for himself a body.
Yeah.
Right? And look at it. I didn't even get there. Colossians. And you know the passage. Colossians chapter 1, first of all, verse 15. Just look. So we see this the same truth here as Hebrews. Who is the image of the what? Invisible God. See, God cannot be seen.
That's right.
In his essential essence. Okay? But he can be seen in the person of the Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And I know that's been back during the fourth century and when the Arian heresy came along. This is not saying that Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, was a created being. He got his deity through creation. God cannot be created.
Exactly.
Okay? If he can be created, he's not God. There's something else that's above him. That thing that's created cannot be God.
Exactly.
But he is the firstborn of every creature. Why? Because he is a creature.
Yeah.
He has the body of a man.
Yes.
Right? It was a body, Joe, that though through the Spirit of God, not some fallen man, but nevertheless was created in the womb and through the womb. Of a virgin.
Yes, sir.
Right? He had a real humanity. It wasn't a false humanity, as the Arians were trying to say.
Exactly.
It wasn't some ethereal kind of or special humanity. It wasn't even the Adamic, the original Adamic humanity. It's the humanity that Adam had after the fall. But then let's jump. Look. Why? Why is this true? Read these things about Christ, of Him, by Him, are all things.
Yeah.
He's before all things. All things consist or are held together by Him. Why? Why? Verse 19 gives the answer. Because it pleased God.
Amen.
You see it?
That's it.
For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Here we have in the Son both Creator and creature dwelling in inseparable union.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I mean inseparable union. I'll talk about that here in a moment. Inseparable union. And then it's summed up in chapter 2. You know it, verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. How?
Bodily.
Amen. Not just as spirit. Not just as invisible. But how? Bodily. Isn't that amazing? That is one of the mysteries of godliness. God was manifest, not just in a body. Now that's true. And here we see the reason. But notice when Paul says that to Timothy. Why does he say that God was manifest in the body? No. He wants to make it clear what kind of body. That God was manifest how? In the flesh.
Amen.
In the flesh. This right here. You see it? Right here.
That's it.
This not fish flesh. Not the body that planets have bodies, right? Paul says so, right? Fish have bodies, right?
Yes, sir.
Beasts have bodies. Four-footed creatures, they have bodies, right? Insects have bodies. But he didn't take that body. He took on himself this body.
Exactly.
The body of the creature who disobeyed him.
Right,
who rebelled against him. Who spit in his face. Who tried to build a tower toward him. Huh? He took on himself that body. Oh, what condescension. But again, let me say, he didn't do it just for us. These things are certainly to our blessing, and any man who denies that is a fool.
Yeah.
Is a fool. I'm not trying to deny that. But they are primarily for God's own glory. Because God would never have eternally existed in the person, or eternally purposed an everlasting or an unending existence in this human body were it not He simply what was pleased to. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell.
Amen.
Just like when somebody said, well, why should old Mordecai ride the king's horse? He just no Jew. Why? Because the king said so.
Amen.
The king wants it to happen. And when a king wants it to happen, it'll happen.
Amen. Amen.
And if you've got any smarts, you just keep your mouth shut and you don't question the king.
Exactly.
Because he might show his pleasure or displeasure toward you.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. Yes,
why does Mordecai ride the king's horse? Because the king said so. Why does Jesus Christ inhabit live in, not just inhabit. Why did He take upon Himself a human nature? Why? Because it pleased the Father for Him to do that.
Amen.
The Creator has joined Himself with the creature in an everlasting union.
That's it.
And I don't have much time to go into this, but let me give you this. And let's think about it. The man, and I emphasize that point.
Yes, sir.
The man, Christ Jesus, was chosen unto the highest union and communion with God Himself. We have union and communion with God.
Yes, sir.
But only in Him.
Amen.
He has union and communion with God in Himself.
Yes.
You know, that's the highest order there is. That's above the order of the angels. That's above the order of those four that fly around His throne day and night, crying, holy, holy, holy. You remember those? Isaiah seen them. Day and night. That's their job. Fly around, cry holy.
Yes,
right?
That's it.
Two wings they flew. Two they covered their bottoms. And two they covered their tops. Wasn't it? They flew around. Holy. 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 That's all they do. Isn't that amazing? What would we do if God said, all right, just cry holy, holy, holy all the time? Well, God, there's got to be more to it than that. Right? Wouldn't we? Now, God, what? What's up with this?
Yep.
They do it without complaint. And yet God didn't take their form.
Exactly.
Did he? Whose form did he take?
Ours.
And he didn't even take our form as we originally were in our daddy Adam.
No, sir.
He took our form after the fall. Isn't that amazing? The man Christ Jesus was chosen under the highest union and communion with God himself. In Christ, the love and grace of Almighty God shine forth in unmatchable, resplendent glory. Words, as the Apostle Paul puts it, words can't describe this love. Not really. You know, not really. Can't describe it. The Son of God gave subsistence and personality to his humanity. Christ's deity and his humanity are not merely one flesh, like a husband and wife are one flesh. It's not merely that. Nor is Christ's deity and humanity one spirit, like Christ and the church are, or like believers are. Paul said, I'm with you in spirit. You know? It's not just that. But in his deity and his humanity, he was one person.
Yes.
Now, he had two distinct natures.
Yes.
A divine nature. The nature of deity, of Yahweh himself. God Almighty. And he also had the nature of a man.
Exactly.
But he wasn't two people.
Yeah.
He was one person. And somebody says, I don't understand that. I don't either. It is still the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
So much so was he joined as one person that the blood of Almighty God, or no, the blood of human nature is said to be the blood of Almighty God himself, right? Isn't that amazing? Again, let me say it. The Son of God gave subsistence and personality to his humanity. Christ's deity and humanity were joined in one person.
Yes.
Therefore, the creature nature was advanced to fellowship and even union with the eternal God himself. In the person of the Son.
Yes, sir.
As I begin to read some of these things, I've changed some of the things, put them in my own language. Some of the things I've taken, as I said, when I love that, when Arthur W. Pink talks about the characteristics of God, he don't talk about the characteristics of God. He talks about the perfections of God. That's a better way for us to say it.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The way we ought to say it. That's a good phrase, folks.
Yeah.
But if we could talk about one another's characteristics, anyway, when we talk about God, they're all perfections. There are no... when we talk about our characteristics, there's good ones and bad ones, right? And even worse ones.
Yeah.
Right? There's good ones, bad ones, and then there's the ones you don't talk about.
Exactly.
Huh? When we talk about God, no matter how hard it is, it's still a perfection.
Yeah.
No matter how difficult it is as a human creature to bow to, no matter how beyond our understanding it is, it's still, no matter how opposed it is to everything we feel or think, it's a perfection. When God damns a person to the lake of fire, that's a perfection.
Yes, sir.
It's not a flaw. It's not God, something God stuck with and he's got to do because of this judgment and wrath thing. What if God willing to show his wrath? God wants to. If God didn't want to, he wouldn't.
Exactly.
God ain't ever done anything he didn't want to do.
That's right.
And God ain't never been forced to do anything.
That's it.
Father, I pray that you join us in honor and praise, even though it may be in a slight, small way. Lord, join us in our hearts and minds together in praise toward thy Son, God manifest in the flesh. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me and us. Forgive us of our sins, our all too often shortcomings. Lord, cause us to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I pray in his name. Amen.